today on Real Radio.
You say, yeah, but Jesus died. After these seven words, he died. Oh, yes, but listen, that was only for the weekend, my friend. Sunday morning, Jesus Christ rose from the dead to speak again, to live again, to talk again, to teach again.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack in a special Easter episode for Passion Week called The Awesome God Who Died, a powerful theme that brings to light just how awesome our God truly is. Thanks for joining us today. We are simply undone with the overwhelming sense of how small and insignificant we are in comparison to our awesome God. And yet he chose willingly to humble himself to die on a cross to save us from our sins. The death of the Lord Jesus removes our guilt and shame, while his resurrection gives us the gift of new life in him. Previously on Passion Week, we looked at Passover, or the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The first Passover took place in Egypt. It was God who created the way that Israel could receive deliverance through an innocent lamb. God passed over those in the houses in Egypt whose doorpost was covered with the blood of the innocent lamb. Now Jesus is our Passover lamb who sacrificed himself for our salvation. Only Jesus was crucified for our sin. So today, Pastor Jack tells us that our acts of evil and our hope was all placed on Jesus, the Lamb of God. Christ Jesus is our Passover. He is the first and the last. He was dead, and now he's alive forevermore. And now, in his special episode for Passion Week called The Awesome God Who Died, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Earlier this week, we recounted. We first of all looked at Palm Sunday, and most recently, together as a church, we looked at Wednesday night and the events that transpired on this Passion Week in history. And if you remember, we talked about the Passover lamb, the great significance. Go to Exodus chapter 12, because to celebrate Passover in Israel, if you're Jewish, you need a lamb tonight. You need a lamb. You need a temple. There is no temple in Jerusalem. There is no lamb tonight in Jerusalem. They don't know why. We know why. God's lamb has come into the world. Jesus Christ came, and the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer imputing, that is no longer, listen, no longer counting, making or keeping account of our trespasses, of our sins. Jesus went to the cross on this celebration in history. Christ, 21 centuries ago, went and subjected himself to the cruelty of the cross. Listen, according to history, the cross, crucifixion, in its most basic form was invented by the Persians, and then it was taken by those in Carthage. And those in Carthage perfected the Persian form of crucifixion. But when Rome took over the world, Rome considered the Persian form of crucifixion too humane, and the Carthaginian form of crucifixion too humane, and Rome perfected the torture of the cross. In fact, the act of crucifixion by Roman law was so grotesque and so gruesome, most of those crucified, by the way, remained on the cross alive, losing their eyes to vultures that would take out their eyes, losing their feet to wandering dogs because they were crucified so close to the ground. But many of them eventually either suffocated under their own weight, hanging by those massive wounds, those spikes, unable to fill their lungs. Every time they'd have to breathe, they had to push down on their legs to fill their lungs and then go down. They would die of asphyxiation, or they would die of blood loss. Not from the crucifixion. The guards crucified them in such a way that they wouldn't bleed. Very little blood. But they died because of partial dismemberment by wild animals, and they would bleed out. And some historians record that crucified victims would be 3-4 days in that state of crucifixion. It was so grotesque that Rome said there'll never be crucifixions in the land of Rome, in the land of Italy. In their homeland, it would never happen. They said it would defile the land. Rome would only do such executions outside of the land. Jesus was crucified. according to the scriptures. All week, our theme has been regarding our awesome God. And I love proclaiming the fact that this day represents the fact that my, your awesome God died on the cross. My God is so great and so awesome that he's eternal, but he subjected himself to a human body that he might die. My God died on the cross and he rose again from the grave. And somebody might say, how can God die? Why? How could the universe stay together if your God died? Because the Bible teaches God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And though, listen, Christ died, let's remember this, his physical body died. Your physical body's gonna die someday, but the spirit of who you are, your consciousness, your alertness, your true awareness will never die. Jesus left this body at the point of death. His body died. God is awesome. The word awesome means to be in awe of. The word means to be in fear of. It means to be completely undone, to be overcome by a sense of smallness. When you're in awe or the sense of awesome, that word's reserved when you feel a sense of smallness or a sense of being very insignificant. Noah Webster defines the word awesome as the experience of being overcome with a great fear and admiration simultaneously. It is the becoming of reverential awe, awestruck, fearful. Noah Webster cites Psalm chapter 4 when he says, quoting, it is to stand in awe of God, resulting in a departure of sin, to be in awe of God. Jesus was hanging on the cross 21 centuries ago on this night that we celebrate. And I want to go over quickly tonight, our time is limited, to seven statements from the cross. Listen, a lot of people will say that these are the last seven words of Jesus. That's not exactly true, church. You can buy books, by the way. They have wrongly titled some books, The Last Words of Jesus, and they give these seven words that I'm going to give you in a moment, but they're wrong because the book of Revelation, Jesus speaks again, doesn't he? He speaks to the churches, the seven churches. That's the last words of Jesus. You say, yeah, but Jesus died. After these seven words, he died. Oh, yes, but listen, that was only for the weekend, my friend. Sunday morning, Jesus Christ rose from the dead to speak again, to live again, to talk again, to teach again. His first pronouncement is found in Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Luke 23, 34. And Jesus from the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Now, I just want to submit to you that I believe only God could say such a thing. After being beaten, shred open, his body mutilated by Roman flogging, then to be crucified as he was, and what's the first words out of his mouth? He didn't say, Father, these are a bunch of jerks, fry them, throw them. No, Jesus on the cross, a display of deity. Father, forgive them. In his crucifixion, he's interceding for them. By the way, that answers to Deuteronomy chapter 18. The word of God is on the cross, but the word of God was in Deuteronomy 18. And the Bible there says that the Lord himself, said Moses, will raise up to you a prophet. And Jesus is speaking from the cross intercession. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. The second word of Jesus from the cross is Luke 23, 43. And Jesus said, truly, I say to you, today, you will be with me in paradise. Of course, he said that to the thief on the cross. And that's a record found in Isaiah 49, where the Bible tells us there that they who put their trust in him shall not be ashamed. Think about that. That thief on the cross, wicked, godless, sinful, filthy man. A malefactor, that's a very dirty word. That means that guy was involved in all kinds of crimes. Had a change of mind, and he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today, in his second pronouncement, you'll be with me in paradise. Wow. What an awesome, wonderful God we have. The third pronouncement from the cross is found in John 19. In verses 26 to 27, I'll paraphrase it there. You read it a moment ago. Jesus said to his mother, that is Mary, woman, this is your son. And then he said to John, the disciple, this is your mother. And that's an answer to Habakkuk chapter 2, What was Jesus saying in relationship to Habakkuk 2 and regarding Mary and the disciple John? The Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. Jesus was saying, Mary, this is John. They knew each other already. John, this is Mary. They knew each other already. Jesus was introducing a family of God, family of faith. And from that moment, you read it a moment ago, John took Mary, and we know from church history, by the way, John lived a great old age. He outlived Mary according to church history. And his days ended, her days quite possibly with John, in what is Asia Minor today in the area of Turkey. The family of faith. Are you in the family of faith? Does this Good Friday celebration, is it something that's religious for you? Or do you understand that Jesus was on the cross for your sins? You, personally. Listen, you cannot experience eternal life and have forgiveness unless you understand that Jesus died for you, not corporately. He didn't die for you in some mass Groupon type of collective way. He didn't do that. Isn't that amazing? He said, well, Jack, doesn't say the Bible say, announced to us that he died for the sins of the world? Yes, he died for the sins of the world, but he's your personal savior. You've got to receive Christ personally. And we know from biblical writing, we know Nicodemus being one of them. You heard about him a moment ago, that Nicodemus was there at the cross. We have no account of Nicodemus except 3 years earlier at the ministry of Jesus. He comes to Jesus by night, and then all of a sudden there's silence. And then on the scene, we have Nicodemus risking everything as a priest of Israel. He goes to the cross. He sees Jesus. He brings down the body with Joseph of Arimathea, both of them together with embalming spices. They think they're going to have the time to wrap him with spices. They lay him in a tomb, risking everything. Risking their job, risking their income, risking their status. They had everything to lose. And it's remarkable to me, Nicodemus' faith is awesome. He throws it all off and he understands that he's joined the family of God. The just shall live by faith. You're not going to go to heaven on your own works, the Bible says. God condemns our good works. He condemns them. The Bible says all of our good deeds are like filthy rags. You can't go to heaven by being good enough. God will have none of it. No, the just shall live by faith. And church, faith in who? Jesus. He's God's gift. That's why God displayed Christ on the cross on this day in history. The fourth pronouncement from the cross is found in Matthew 27 and in Mark 15. Jesus cries out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. We know it as, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now at that pronouncement, everyone has their attention focused upon Christ. And I'll tell you the reason why, without any hesitation or without any doubt. That's a statement right out of the 22nd Psalm. Every Jew had the 22nd Psalm. For 1,000 years, that Psalm was known to the Jewish people. It's a psalm of David, but it's a prophetic psalm speaking about the Messiah. How will you ever recognize the Messiah? Well, one of the ways is that he's going to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why is Jesus saying this? How can God forsake God? Only if God becomes a man can God forsake God when God becomes a man. Are you with me? Do you understand that? God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and their awesome purity looked upon Christ Jesus. And the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians, all of our sin was weighted upon him, thrown upon him. That great conveyance, a great transaction, God placed upon Jesus your lust and your anger and your pride. And mine was weighted upon Jesus. And the Bible tells us again in Habakkuk, Chapter 1, behold, the eyes of the Lord are too pure to behold evil. Jesus was the recipient of all Jack's evil, all of Jack's sin, all of Jack's wickedness. Jesus took that upon him personally for me. And so he answers to Psalm 22, and the people in the crowd would have known it. Jews today, when they read the Old Testament, ought to know it. The fifth pronouncement is John 19, verse 28. It's an awesome statement. Powerful statement. Jesus says, I thirst. That's remarkable, church. Two words. Jesus said, I thirst. And what's interesting, you've read in your biblical account that at one point they took a sponge on a stick and they dipped it in a certain type of solution and they brought it up to Jesus's mouth. And do you remember what the Bible says? It says he refused it. Remember that? And you read your Bible carefully and the word used for that sponge that he refused was a type of medical Novocaine. It was designed, listen, it was designed to deaden the pain so the victim would endure longer on the cross. And Jesus was not goofing around, and nor was he falling for the antics of man. Jesus refused to receive any sedative for the pain, took it straight on, and also Jesus received no help from man. He took it full. But the Bible tells us when he cried out, I thirst. Now that's a different thing. They dipped a sponge in sour wine. It's vinegar. And they dipped it in this rotten wine, which turns to vinegar, and they held it up and they put it to his lips. Why is that important? This had to happen, church. I was studying this and reading Isaiah 53 today, and I just wanted to just jump. I know this isn't a Pentecostal church, but maybe we ought to jump. In Isaiah 53, the Bible says, my tongue cleaves to my jaw. And the only way that you can get your tongue loose from our jaw, none of us have ever experienced that type of dehydration, where your tongue is welded to your mouth, to the cheek of your mouth on the inside. It's all dry. And the Bible says that the Messiah in Isaiah 53 will have his tongue stuck to his inside cheek of his mouth, meaning he couldn't speak anymore unless he took fluid. Jesus said, I thirst. And they held up that sponge. What for? For the most, perhaps, important statement, number 6, to my life anyway. In John chapter 19, verse 30, there, Jesus, it says, when he had received the sour wine, he said, in one word, by the way, in one word, in the ancient Koine Greek is street Greek. You know how we Americans, we don't speak English? We speak American. We don't speak English. People in England speak English. We speak American. You know, American is slang. We say, what's up? We say, yo, dude. We say, you know, it's not English, it's American. Jesus spoke one word in Koine or street Greek for everybody to understand, one word. And that word was totelestai. He cried out that word. It's remarkable. In English, it is finished. By the way, the word totelestai is reserved for a joyous declaration. It's finished. When a contractor finished his house or some part of the city, they shouted, it's finished. When a carpenter finished the project, he would announce, it's finished, totelestai. It's like, yes, woo, totelestai, yes. Jesus cries out. Think of it for a moment. He's dying there for you and your sins and mine, that if you would put your trust in Jesus, and Jesus looks beyond the suffering. Have you ever been, I've never been in pain, like my wife was in pain giving birth to our kids. That's insane. But she goes from crying, and in the next second, she goes with tears of joy and a smile on her face, and she's talking about when we're going to do this again. It is finished. It's a joyous announcement. Jesus said it's done. Think of the relief he had when he said that. It's done. It's over. Oh, what a glorious moment. And that answers to Exodus chapter 12. So when the Passover is offered, the people shall be freed from their guilt. The great Passover lamb. The seventh and final pronouncement from the cross is in Luke 23:46, when Jesus cried out with a loud voice. Now, this was probably his favorite moment. And by the way, I submit this to you, only God can make this next statement. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. What does that mean? Jesus said, I'm done. It's finished. Work is complete. Father, I now am going to excuse my spirit from this body. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I are going to die when God says you and I die. You will never say, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Jesus was done doing the job. Salvation was complete. The atonement was made. And Jesus, no pun intended, and I mean this reverently, he didn't hang around 1 minute longer. It was out of there, and he dismissed his spirit because he was done. Only God can do that. The price had been paid. Every sin, everything that I've ever done in my life and shall do, Christ paid for that and for you as well. Jesus did that. This is the gospel of God. This is the gospel of Christ. He did this. And that answers to the 31st Psalm, Psalm 31. It's in Psalm 31 that the prophetic psalm says, I commit my spirit into your care, O God. Some mathematician so claims anyway that looking at the research of these prophecies fulfilled and 280 also other prophecies fulfilled regarding Jesus during his earthly life, crucifixion, resurrection, they did a mathematical equation and said that it comes out to one person fulfilling 300 prophecies is 1 to the 84th with 100 zeros behind it, mathematically, is the probability of it being fulfilled by one person. And Jesus did it all. If you want empirical proof that Christ is the Messiah, then why don't you try mathematics and look into that equation and find out, and you'll have to become a believer. But listen, there's a greater witness than that, and that's the witness of you needing a priest to remove sin from your life. See, Jesus is my priest. And the Bible talks about in the Old Testament that God would call forth an unblemished lamb, a perfect lamb, and that the priest would take the sins of the nation and sacrifice that lamb, and that lamb would be sacrificed, and he would pronounce judgment upon that lamb. And then he would take the blood from that lamb, and he would walk over to what's called a scapegoat. Have you ever heard that before, a scapegoat? And they would put the blood on the forehead of the scapegoat, and they would send the scapegoat out into the wilderness. Your sins were forgiven and your sins were driven from you in Christ. Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Isn't it amazing that God right now who is here, he can look down upon this congregation and he knows you. He knows right now in this room those that are his and those that are not his. And what makes those that are his and not his separate from one another is not anything that they've ever done or haven't done. It's all regarding where have you placed yourself? Is it in your own hands? Are you the captain of your own ship? Are you the keeper of your own kessel? Or have you come to that place of understanding, I need this Lamb. I need Jesus.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a special Passion Week episode called The Awesome God Who Died. Thanks for taking the time to listen during this special time of year. Our prayer is that during this week of celebrating God's passion for us, you'll come to realize the urgency to call upon the name of Jesus Christ. And when you accept him in your heart as your personal Savior, eternal life is secured in heaven with him. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, the truth is, due to some time restraints on the radio, we're unable to air the message in this special Easter series in its entirety. But in celebration of Passion Week, Pastor Jack is offering a special three-part Passion Week DVD series. It's called Our Awesome God. In this series, Pastor Jack shares God's awesome faithfulness, his love, and provision. You'll also see why Jesus Christ alone is the resurrection and the life, and the extent to which he's gone to save you. This special DVD offer is available on our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and it's available for a gift of any amount to this ministry. This is a very special offer, so hurry to our website while it lasts. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.